Welcome to Conversations Around Conversations about the conversations we just had on the Clubhouse app earlier today.
This is Tech Theater, Clubhouse Conversations. It's a podcast to continue that conversation that we were having on Clubhouse every Tuesday, 12:55 Eastern, if you want to come join us. We have these incredible discussions with these super, super smart people who sit at the intersection of technology and theater.
Every single week, we walk away from those Clubhouse talks with so many thoughts that we never get to. So we decided to make this podcast, share those thoughts, dig into them, ask questions, say utterly absurd things on air, and reach even more of our friends and collaborators. I'm Jess, CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. I am a theater person. I love creating it, watching it, and of course, talking about it.
And I'm Joe, co-founder of Broadway Unlocked, and my history is in the tech media space, so I bring a little bit of that startup experience to this conversation.
And so with that, welcome to Tech Theater Tuesday. This week on Clubhouse, we invited members of Colab Theater Group on to talk about their very successful 10th anniversary benefit event we made together last night. Yeah, big round of applause. It was a great conversation about pivoting to digital spaces and how to expand our definitions of accessibility, as well as how to expand accessibility to digital spaces. So the quick background is that Colab's this incredible theater company here in New York. So if you didn't know, Colab stands for Creative Opportunities Without Limits and Boundaries, and they provide theater programming, education, game, play, and life development for folks living with disabilities. And they're an incredible theater company. They were introduced to us by our friends at Paul Taylor Dance Company, and we were so excited to be able to make this digital benefit with them to celebrate their birthday. It happened last night. We had about 300 people in the venue, which was super exciting. They raised a ton of money and did a really incredible live show that opened the space to people who worked, the live digital space, to people who worked for the organization, folks that they served through the organization, folks that they were honoring that night. There were musical numbers. There were collab games. It was just a ton of fun and from our perspective, really successful. So, of course, we were excited to talk to them today on Clubhouse.
So much fun. And just another reminder that the best people to work with are the people who come from the theater arts performance world, because they approach it so creatively, so collaboratively. And they were just like, oh, cool, we can do this over here. And oh, we can break that thing over there. And they just push the virtual venue that we like to build to its limits and get us thinking creatively and get us imagining new ways to use the technology that we've, you know, come to get used to, but you can always do a little more, a little bit different with. Mm-hmm. So I love that when we get to work with people who make us think that way.
Yeah, I agree. So today on Clubhouse, our conversation kind of rotated around three main sort of areas of focus, one of which was simply, as it always is, best worst of being a person who makes theater in person and having to learn how to make this digital experience come to life in a way that is at least commensurate with being, you know, together in person. So that was one. The second was around accessibility, because they really, really pushed the envelope, as Joe was saying, specifically around accessibility and captioning and interpreting. So we did a lot of talking about the logistics and all of those details there. And then we actually also ended up talking a lot about the third little chunk, which was the digital divide, and asking folks that they serve through their organization to be a part of the broadcast and, you know, sort of just hearing a little bit from their perspective about the challenges technology puts in front of us, even those who use technology every single day, all the way to folks who don't use it as much, and just sort of what their takeaways were from that. And as I always say this when we get off, but Joe is very, very quiet in this episode. So I am really excited on this podcast to hear what you were thinking throughout that. I know you're thinking a thousand things.
I wish I had data to like back up or refute whenever you say that I'm quiet on something.
You were so quiet.
Or I can be like, well, for this episode, I talked for about 30 seconds. For this episode, I talked for about 35 seconds. I'm sure it would all be within like 1 or 2 minutes at the end of the day. Yeah. And like the vacillation between the two edges of the like spectrum are not that wide, but some of them I get called out for, some of them I don't. It's funny.
Yeah, well.
So I'm going to start tracking that data so I can call you out.
Okay. Don't call me when you have that.
Don't call you out. Yeah, I would love to start through the third topic that you sort of just outlined there, and sort of the three main things that we talked about today, which was the digital divide, and how even for people who are young, hip, smart, technologically savvy, like there's still just something different about working through the digital medium that requires being more thoughtful, being more conscientious, over communicating. And so just starting from that point, and then with Colab and the way that those wonderful people think, just expanding that to all those other places and all the other needs that exist out there. Mm. And so like when we can't even get it right with like people who are super good with technology, then like imagining the world in which they do, where they're trying to be as open, as accessible as possible to absolutely everyone that they can. Like, it just like, it presents such a larger challenge, such a larger set of things that have to be thought about. And I do just like, I appreciate so much how they think about it, how they talk mm-hmm. about it. And across this conversation, there are so many different things that I hadn't fully considered in the way that like Abby presented it or the way that Becky presented it. And I wrote down something that Abby said, which was like so simple, but so easy. And she was just like, you just got to do something. Like, do something.
Yeah.
Like, the big, big, big problem can feel so overwhelming and so unattainable and so impossible. But if you just do something, if you pick one audience, if you pick one thing to just do and, like, get it going, get it rolling. And I was just like, oh, I appreciate that sentiment and that mentality of, like, you got to just do something and then build from there and get better next time and keep going and going and going. So after 10 years, which is what Colab was celebrating, it was their 10th birthday, which is amazing. 10 years is such a long time to exist. Across 10 years, they've done a lot of somethings, like, one little thing after another, consciously thinking about who they want to be able to be part of their community. And taking that and putting it through the digital lens was something that I was like, that's so much of what we talk about, so much what we care about. And I think they think about it even more intensely and even more mm-hmm. sort of rigorously than we do. And so to have, I mean, it felt like we were learning from that was really nice across this conversation.
Yeah. And it, the just do something bit also reminds me of like, or makes me think of, we talked about this a little bit and Abby brought it up in Clubhouse. Our tech was, full disclosure, y'all, it was real bad. And something like Joe was saying, even with folks who are really good with technology, something we work really hard on here at Broadway Unlocked when we're doing live shows in the digital space is like making sure we are as pre-prepped as possible to eliminate as much of the technology risk as we can, because what we found is that people feel really powerless in the digital space. And if something goes wrong, it can trigger like a lot of panic because there's so much on the line and they don't know how to fix it. And they don't know even the rules of what they're working with. Right. And so like, this is something we talk about a lot, right? This is really important to us. We want everyone walking away from a tech, even if everything didn't go perfectly, to feel confident. And tech, this was an example of, you got to just do something and you're not going to do it right every time, because it was this like sort of horrifying situation where we had a digital divide at play for folks who were participating in the live broadcast. And so they had an incredibly hard time getting on, just like even getting into the studio. And then we were time bound. And those folks, some of those folks just take longer, right? Like it just takes longer to do things. So then we're running out of time. And then the cloud-based software we were using that night just went, legit glitched out and went haywire, which made the broadcast completely untenable and crazy. And that meant that everyone went home that evening feeling frustrated, scared, not sure what was next. And then because back to the digital divide, like if you watch all these dominoes, you know, that Abby and her colleagues at Colab had to discuss and decided and like kind of just like got themselves resigned to the fact that they're going to have to scratch their students and their collaborators inside Colab, their constituents that they serve. They're going to have to scratch them from the live broadcast, which was just, as I understand it, and I can imagine, devastating. And that is not a place we want to be. Do you know what I mean? But I can't imagine that stopping us from having, you know what I mean, tried to do all of this. Like, we just didn't get it right. And then we got in this office and, like, war zoned it and figured out, war roomed it and figured out what to do and tried again.
Yeah. And that's the sort of the next part of this story is that we did figure out a different solution. But had we not tried at all, we just never even would have gotten our hopes up around the idea of having these people join the broadcast live and play that game live with the hosts. It just wouldn't have been part of the conversation. So it's better to have loved and to have lost than to have not loved at all.
Oh, boy.
And luckily, we only lost it for about a half hour before we came up with the solution, switched streaming studios, got everyone else on board. And that was another thing. So across the Clubhouse conversation, Abby, I thought, was so badass in being like, listen, I'm going to be real with y'all. We had some tech issues during our tech rehearsal and it was scary. And she sort of like laid it out there. And we were just like, yeah, that's what happened. Like, no sugarcoating it. No, oh, this was a perfect event.
Well, don't you think, I feel like we talk about this sometimes, but I believe I'm speaking on behalf of you, but I don't want to do that. Okay. We'd be doing people a real big disservice if we were tricking them into thinking we just like this stuff like this doesn't happen, because we don't have 100% control over all this, and we're human, so we also make mistakes. Like, we don't make many of them, but we make a couple of mistakes sometimes.
Just has the best facial expression when she says that. Slightly smug, but like full of confidence. Yeah, and you gotta break some of those eggs. I'm full of bad euphemisms right now, it seems.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, and I appreciate, too, there's something freeing and empowering about owning the fact that things go wrong, mm-hmm. and how in early parts of our conversations with our partners and our clients, we're like, things are going to go wrong. And you know what? You trust in us because we react well, we solve problems quickly, we make things better. And that's, you know, a mantra that I've had for a long time that I've shared with you, Jess, about like, I'm more curious in how someone like reacts to a problem and judge them based on that reaction rather than like a mistake that is made or a problem that happens that maybe wasn't preempted. It's like, okay, how do you address it in that moment? How do you handle pressure under stress? Mm. And I think we do a pretty good job of that. And I think to Abby and Colab's credit, they did an incredibly good job of that too. They were worried, but they didn't explode. They didn't freak out. They didn't fire us, cancel everything, do whatever. They were like, hey, we're concerned. Let's talk about this. Let's come up with solutions. Like, I'm glad we did a tech rehearsal.
Oh, well, and that's back to your original point about like working with folks in the arts is such a fun like moment for us. Boy, you know, we all of us have been in techs our whole lives, right? Like a 10 out of 12 is just literally 10 hours of shit going wrong. So it's so nice when we get to work with other people who, you know, that's their livelihoods too, because it's the end of the world, but only for like a little sliver of a moment. And then we just remember that's why we have techs and we figure it out.
Onward towards a beautiful show, which is what it was last night.
It really was.
It was so nice. Can we talk for a second just about the show? Just because I want to like relive it a little bit. And that idea that when you bring creative people into a piece of flexible, sort of slightly DIY technology, they just like take it to amazing places. Mm-hmm. And so the after party that was put on inside of the virtual venue utilized, you know, this wonderful woman, Haley, whose last name I can't remember.
I don't either.
That was kind of hosting the room. And then a piano player who was in another screen, they were interacting with each other. And then they just invited their entire community to come join them on stage. They're like, hey, like raise your hand if you want to join us. There's a bit of technology that allows for sort of that moderation inside of our venue. And they would just bring a person up at a time. They would have a little chat. They would catch up about whatever, their connection to the community, what's been going on, how they enjoyed the night. And then that person would request a song and they would all sing it together. And it was like amazing and freewheeling and just so like real and authentic. And it felt great. It was just like a perfect expression of the connection and the love that the people who are putting on the performances and part of the community just like have for each other and for Colab. And it was just amazing. And like, we've never done anything like that before. Mm-mm. We've never had an after party that featured that exact permutation and combination of elements. And it was just so wonderful. And like, we were all beaming at our computers like idiots. And it was just like the best.
That gal who was the host in that room too, I thought was like, we talk frequently about how difficult and super specific the skill set is to host a digital screen share room where people are coming in on different screens, because the limitations of the technology, it's like just a totally different game to host. She was so good. She knocked it out of the park. And when we talk, like today at Clubhouse, we talked a lot about CoLab being a space for all. I mean, she just radiated that out through the way she moderated and hosted that room, I thought.
Yeah. Like really flexing the superpowers at that intersection of technology and theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like weird possibilities, capabilities empowered by technology, but utilized by the brilliance and creativity of someone with a theater background.
Mm-hmm. I also, just on that note, with the, you know, CoLab being a space for all, wanted, like, we asked them today why they decided to do a live experience in the venue. And, you know, Abby was mentioning that community is just obviously with like a mission like that, that it's space for all, like obviously huge center of the work that they do. And I don't know. I just saw that present across the entire experience, from pre-show to the show on stage to that after party that Joe just described. It was so, we talk frequently about this being a new art form, and this CoLab show was a great example of that, I think.
I agree. As a very biased participant in that show, I thought it was amazing. I kind of wish we could just like watch it again, experience it again. You know, when you like finish a TV series or like read an excellent book that sort of just like encapsulates you for, you know, a couple of weeks at a time. It felt a little bit like that at the end of that show last night. Just like, oh, I miss these people already and I didn't know them before I started this.
I love that.
I would love to like take us a little bit deeper into the accessibility conversation that we were having with Abby. You know, all of those topics that just laid out at the top, the sort of three themes that we were in through this conversation intersect with each other. And like we kind of flowed between them freely. But one stat that Abby pulled out, which I'm like very curious where it's from, and like I'd love to find it, was just that like over 20% of Americans have disabilities. And like when I heard that, I was like, wait, what? Like, that's a huge number. 20% is such a large percentage of literally anything, everything. And if it's like of people, I think specifically in the United States, it's just like, that is such a large number. And like for how little we think about it, talk about it, it's expressed in popular culture and digital media and all those things. I'm just like, holy shit.
Didn't that remind you of Jermaine talking about the global majority from Clubhouse a couple of weeks ago? Which I'm going to fuck that all up for sure. But the folks that are referred to across press and even in conversation as minority are actually the global majority. So he's sort of taken up the mantle of like refusing to say minorities and saying global majority. But like it's the same thing at play. And I think it really tells you something about dominant culture, like in whatever form it takes. You know what I mean? It's a bulldozer. 20% is huge.
What was that word?
Huge.
Oh, huge, but said kind of crazily. Got it.
It's so many folks, and you're for so little stuff being prioritized for folks with disabilities. I had not heard that stat either.
Yeah, and you know, coming back to like the digital divide part of that, and something else that Abby said that is sticking with me. There's so many things that she said that I'm like, they're going to be sitting there in the back of my head. But the way that sort of tied with accessibility is the concept of just time. Like we need to spend time figuring out how to incorporate captions into videos or how to place an interpreter inside of a live stream and all of these things, because they're not part of the way that a dominant culture is communicating, creating. It just takes, at the very least, a little extra time, but time equates to money in a business context, and everyone just sort of quickly justifies not spending it because their audience, you know, they're not catering to that audience, they're not worried about that audience, or they just sort of, it's very easy to brush it off and just not think about it.
Yeah.
And the other way that she framed it that kind of stuck with me as well was that every choice, every sort of like unconscious choice not to include is actually an active choice to exclude.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
And that you have to make the conscious effort to spend the time and therefore the money to include people and to be conscientious and to be thoughtful about it, and why, you know, partners like ours invest in Access, the amazing Angela Johnson, that she is taking up that mantle and making it, you know, as cost effective as possible by taking and getting grants, you know, from the state of Michigan to do this and to help subsidize other people to just freaking get it out there. And like all these amazing people doing all this hard work. And what, you know, what an honor it is for us to amplify the work that they're doing and to incorporate those interpreters into our shows.
And also just what horse shit. I mean, if 20% of the United States lives with a disability. Like, you can't tell me there's not business there. Do you know what I mean? To be done. Like, you're not doing good out of the goodness of your heart for like five people.
Yeah, we go back to the cynical view of like, what's the profit incentive?
Because I don't believe anyone doesn't. Most people don't do any, you know, anything motivated by anything other than that. So we might as well talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lie.
Yeah. I wonder what if there was that number too, like the spending power of the 20% of people.
That'd be badass, right?
I mean, I think it'd be like disappointingly and depressingly low, because like they're marginalized in every aspect of society.
But it doesn't mean that's room for growth, right? Yeah. If you invest, it can grow. And that's like it's like investing in something with potential.
In access, maybe? In access? I think I heard that name somewhere.
Boy.
For those who didn't catch it, that's the name of a wonderful organization that helps provide our interpreters and captioning services. And they do much more, but that's just what we currently work with them for. I don't know what's happening anymore. Jess is staring at me.
Joe run himself into the ground. It's really fun. This is a total aside, and I promise it won't take too long, Lucy, but like, we got to meet some folks last night in the virtual venue before the show that we talked about on Clubhouse a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it today. Right? If anyone was there a couple of weeks ago for our conversation on Clubhouse about Marquee Digital and the sort of invention, the trailblazing of digital programs, digital playbills. And, you know, we, our illustrative producer, Lucy, found this amazing article. We talked about it. We theorized about their motives and their business objectives. And then we talked to them. We met them. We met them over video. And so it was cool. So weird and fun and awesome. And they're super smart and nice. And what a weird world to go all the way from, like, reading an article about someone, theorizing about their motives, and then like meeting them in person enough at least.
And I loved yesterday when you said we were in our offices and Joe was like, I wonder if this is the moment where like we're meeting our people that we're all going to rise up with, right? Because there's sort of this watershed moment in the theater where there's an opening for technology enabled, you know, startups and small businesses to gain foothold in a way that we've never been able to do before. And we keep bumping into these folks. And I just love that you said that yesterday when we were sitting here.
Yeah, I want like a little concept to capture that. Not the five families, but, you know, something similar.
Oh, yeah. I have to say, yes, I am aware that three families own the Broadway houses. But it was a mistake that I love and I'm keeping it. I will continue to say the five families.
Yeah. Call out Jess in her Twitter mentions.
Yeah. It's fine. Come at me.
Yeah. I feel like we should like go on record right now and be like, what's up? Broadway Unlocked and All Together Now. Marquee Digital Pledge.
Who Uproar. Else?
Uproar. Uproar Theatrics, I believe, is their full company name. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's look back in 5 or 10 years and look at all these companies and how cool we're all going to be and how successful we're all going to be and how much we're going to have changed inside of live performance and fundraising. And
I just flashed forward in the movie in my brain to you sitting on your floor in 10 years crying listening to this. Like, because I don't know.
Good crying?
No.
Am I like divorced or something?
Yeah. Like life didn't turn out the way you wanted it.
That sucks. I mean, I know as humans, we're very bad at planning for and taking care of our future selves. You know, we like treat them as other people and treat them as like people we don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Read the baby boomer generation. So yeah, fuck that person in 10 years.
Solid.
Living life right now and enjoying it thoroughly. Sitting in a cubicle with Jess.
It's not a cubicle. We
sitting
have high
in
ceilings.
A in a rectangle.
Yeah, it's very nice. Also, I feel like all these people are moving in to our building. I've been on a hunt for the last couple of days.
We're freewheeling.
No, this is important to come up with a good name. Like, you know, there's like Broadway and off Broadway, and there's like Chicago and Little Chicago. Like, I was like, what is this building? I want every one of these companies and people that we love to move in here. And then I want a name for us, like we're a gang.
Okay. I'm here for it. I'm not good at naming things.
No, you're not.
It's one of my absolute weaknesses. I'm very literal. I'm like, oh, the building at these corners that has these people. That's the name.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Okay. Well, you don't have to help, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm working on it.
Okay, great. I will parrot it. I will tweet it. I will talk about it.
So if you're a cool, in particular, arts maker, or even a startup who values the arts, don't come around here. If you don't, I don't want to hear from you. you can come work with us too. Tweet us or something, and we'll, you know, give you a tour. Because I'm giving tours now on behalf of this space.
I keep debating, like, do we mention the name? We definitely don't mention the cross streets. I don't want all of our fans showing up on the corner.
On that note.
If you do want to show up on our corner, hit us up on Twitter.
Standing on the corner watching all the Joes go by.
I don't know that one.
It's not Joe, it's girls, but.
Cool.
Were you going to read the rest of your script?
I was going to. I was gonna go and do that because we really want to hear from you. We want to hear what you think. We want to hear your feedback. We want to hear if you want to move into our co-working space with all the other fun, cool people that are moving in, because these conversations around conversations about conversations only happen, only continue, only keep going if you keep that chain going. So join the conversation. Hit us up on Twitter at @BWIUnlocked. Use that hashtag TechTheaterCH and share your thoughts.
Oh, man. And of course, if you want to have as much fun as we're having, join our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse. We'll be back to the week in tech and theater format that we love so much. Jump in, raise your hand, and share your thoughts.
And if you'd like to join the Broadway Unlocked
family. What's with your emphasis today?
Emphasis on the syllables. What is that from? Is that like Austin Powers or something like that?
That sounds like a Mike Myers thing.
And if you want to join the Broadway Unlocked family, you can host a show in our club. Visit broadwayunlocked.com/ch and pitch your idea to the very nice Robo Jess.
Every single topic we've talked about in Clubhouse and on this podcast has been inspired by the articles we read and share with each other in our company Slack, as well as the people on our stage in Clubhouse and our virtual venue. So please join the family. We're on Twitter. We're on the Instas. We're on the Facebooks. You can come see a show by going to www.altogethernow.live. But until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone. www.
What?
HTTPS: